everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the alpha head. I'm the alpha.
Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. What about this time?
We're talking about Sigma Cuck bullshit. Just kidding. Okay. Today we're talking about the first session of an adventure. We've talked about running first sessions, how to start an adventure, how to start a campaign before.
We've talked about session zeros a lot too, which this kind of has to do with. It's germane to that. But yeah, different first sessions.
All right, so y'all meet in a pub. That's the episode. Thanks for coming out, guys.
Well, okay, good. Let's just start with that one. That's it's very tropey. People make jokes about it, but also people do it all the time. I think it gets maybe a little bit of like undue ridicule as a starting session. I think it's a pretty okay way to start a session, but you can't just do that. You can't just be like, all right, you meet in a pub, what do? You can't just do that. You know, there needs to be a little bit of structure to it. Meeting in a bar or a tavern or whatever for the start of the adventure, there's a lot of things about that that can work. You know, there's an opportunity for... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it works best when you don't, in fact, meet in the tavern. Mm. You start in the tavern.
Okay, yeah. But I'd say, a fair and crucial difference. Meet in a tavern.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah.
So, like, right, we talked just a second ago. We mentioned them. Session zeros, where the players make their characters, they talk about their characters, they get a feel for, or they know what everybody else's character is, and they can come up with some ways of how they all know each other.
Yeah. I think that is, I mean, sometimes glossed over. I'm sure we've talked about it. I know we've done at least one dedicated session zero episode, maybe even two. A big part of session zero is like, why do you guys know each other? Why are you traveling together? Why are you a party?
Right. And it's not necessarily, oh, you guys have been traveling together, but like, you guys met in the past, and like, when you randomly all sign into the job, and meet at the tavern, you're like, oh, this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Remember that, Kano job that we did?
And it doesn't have to be that, like, you're even friendly with each other. Like, you're like, oh, fuck. You stole my bounty that one time. Well, we're working together this time. Be careful with that. Because that sort of, like, intra-party tension is a great way for, role players who are being stinkers on purpose or maybe are a little bit clumsy with their role-playing. That's a great way for the wrong sort of tension and conflict to take center stage. But point being, you meet in a tavern versus you start in a tavern, different things. I think that's a good distinction, an astute distinction to bring up. 'Cause, you meet in a tavern, well, now we're just going to like awkwardly role-play meeting each other. It's way better if you've done session zero prep work and instead of jumping in cold, you're jumping into a scene where you're exploring, a relationship between your characters that you've already thought about versus let's feel this out from zero.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think so. Maybe a small board on the small handheld board that we have. Some goals or not necessarily, maybe not goals, but some things to shoot for in a first session. Sync drifts.
Yep.
Right? Players as their characters kind of fit in to the world.
Yeah,
right?
whatever's going on should be tone setting.
Tone setting. I think a setup for adventure. Uh-huh. Right? There's gotta be some sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Not necessarily motivation, but yeah, some sort of motivation to continue the story, some hook,
right?
That leaves. It doesn't have to be a cliffhanger, but like, yeah, some little tidbit, little crumb of what's to follow, right? You got to introduce the story.
Yeah. I guess, do we want to stay talking about you starting the tavern? Because I think
more,
that's
any more
everything.
Goals for.
For what a first
what,
session
what
should
the first
have.
Yeah. session what the first session should accomplish.
It should be tone setting. It should be a little mini, you know, these are the flavors of the coming adventure. Get everyone's drift synced, an opportunity to, well, I would say, okay. Whatever you're going to do in the first session, if everyone's like, if you're doing, let's stick with the tavern thing for first. If the players are taking that just like opportunity for social role playing seriously and everyone's doing great and having a good time, awesome. You love to see that. Everyone's doing it in character, whatever. But if you go the whole first session without anyone actually like, checking their character sheet or rolling a dice, like what you should engage with the mechanics of whatever game.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think.
Yeah.
One way or the other, like there should be an opportunity for everybody to try and make some sort of rolls. And you're like, okay, well now it's time to do it. You know, like in the Star Wars one. At some point, we should have our first roll. In that first session, so that we learn what dice do you roll, what things on your character sheet apply to the roll, that stuff. There should be engagement with whatever the game mechanics are in that first session, so that players have some idea of what that even is.
I think, and also a part of that is different than what I said before about syncing, but. Players syncing up with their characters, learning how their characters play.
Another sort of
right,
sync.
Through mechanics.
Yeah. And I guess that advice feels like really great advice to me, but it might be more specific to you and I and the groups that we play with than we think. Because there are groups that just play D&D all the time. And so when they start a new adventure or a new campaign, they could do 4 hours of just straight role-playing and not need that, like, okay, here's how you roll dice. Here's what dice you roll in what situation. Here's what numbers you use when you do it. But we often are using new, novel, or homemade systems. And
we're variety gamers.
Yeah, we're very variety gamers. And that's not inherently virtuous of us versus anyone else. If you've just like if you're still playing AD&D from whatever year that came out, like 81, and that's all you've ever played and that's all you're ever gonna play,
the question is why are you like, listening to us?
Well, I mean, we have some advice that is pretty system neutral, but we play a lot of different games and a lot of different game systems, and it's rare that we will, you know, finish one thing and then go right into the next thing and it be the same thing. So in that context, for us, I think it's very important that the first session have something to do that actually, like, involves the mechanics of the game that you're playing.
I think it's still valid for non-variety game. I don't know what the opposite is. For people who play one system and they played one system for
mono
a long
gamers,
time.
Mono
gamers.
Because cool if that's what you're doing.
We've never done this, but what if there's a like grace period? So like first session, you get some rolls, feel some, and you're like, you know what? I don't like how I started my character out. I want to change some things.
I'd say maybe that's another thing to put on the board for a first session is like allow it to be a little bit of a grace period. You're like, actually, I don't think that's how I want to play this. I want to change a little something about my character, or maybe not even play this character going forward. Like, ooh, I realized right away I don't like this, and it's a good thing you gave me Game Master. It's a good thing, good game mastering, you gave me an opportunity to try this, and I realized, you know what, I don't actually want to play a warlock in this campaign because I think I would have more fun doing something else.
Yeah, I don't want to play the pilot because I realize that
all
that
I do is
all
to
I do
fly
is drive
the ship. Yeah.
So I think it's out there as a possibility. We've never actually done that, or none of our players have asked for that.
I thought that had happened a couple times. Didn't Taylor change one of his characters one time? Early on, I don't know. It might have happened.
Maybe.
I'll say whether or not it's happened to us, it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good
idea.
We
talk about a lot of cool stuff that we didn't actually do yet.
Yeah, I also to play Devil's Avocado. I don't know if one session is enough.
It might not be long enough. Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, well, that didn't go great, but like I just rolled like shit. So like when I roll better, it'll be better, and then you never roll better, and you're like, God damn.
Yeah.
But okay, so that's an option. Just talking in general of first sessions is maybe you allow some changes after first sessions.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the tavern. We all know each other at least from one instance.
Yeah.
So maybe we don't remember, or we as in players.
Yeah.
Maybe our characters don't remember everybody's name, but we remember faces. And like, I remember that you carry that knife, you know, in your belt because like,
right. It shouldn't be an awkward improv scene where six strangers sit down at a picnic table.
And then it's like, can I trust you? I don't know. And like, and then like, cause also the awkwardness of like, I want to dump a bunch of my backstory here, but to strangers. So like you hit extremes.
Yeah.
You hit extremes.
Right. You do... you say unbelievable things. You say out-of-character things. And, you know, silly things, maybe. Mm-hmm. For the purpose of, maybe, you know, in complete good faith, trying to be like, this is who my character is, and trying to communicate to that. But, like, that's, you know... That should have been done in background.
Yeah. All right. So we all got our tankards of mead, or I'm drinking mead. I don't know about you, but you know only real rangers drink mead, right? You get a little interaction, some social interaction. Where do we go from there?
That's a tricky thing with the start in a tavern. Because, like, what is the thing that, like...
Or just, I mean, so, like, let's use the tavern example as, like, the real play example. But so, like, first step, characters, you know, meet each other as a team for the first time.
You meet up.
Right? You meet up and you're like, oh, we're all on a job.
Yeah.
Or something's happening in the world that all led us here.
Right.
So you get some social interaction. But I, you know, to your point earlier of like that can't just be the only thing, right? You got to get some mechanics testing, you know, test out each player needs to test out their character and like, you know, here's when I roll.
And there's a tavern is an okay space for this because there's a lot of stuff that can happen in a tavern besides just like sitting, having a drink and talking. There could be, you know, darts or like other little games. There could be gambling.
Mm-hmm.
There could be, you know, like the sort of bane of game masters, like, who else is here? And then, like, oh, fuck. Now I got to tell you who else is in the room. And they're like, I want to talk to him. Fuck, that's one of the NPCs I didn't write a thing about.
I don't have a name for that one.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Ass. His name is Ass.
So in that, there's a lot of opportunity to, like, do some other little just, like, fucking around stuff. But what I feel like I've experienced is that it can be hard to, if it's going okay, or even if it's going really well, that can even be worse if it's going really well, because the moment where they have to, like, stand up and go do the next thing can be hard to prompt. Like, it's hard to get your players to be the ones to prompt that, right? Sometimes.
Because they're having fun, you know, doing a little, you know, witty repartee and,
right,
like, joking with each other.
And without a director, if you think of it like a movie or a play, without a director to, like, prompt the scene change, mm-hmm, a scene might just drag for quite a long time. And you're like, all right, who's going to be the first one to stand up?
So something has to happen.
Yeah.
Right? There's infinite ways to make that happen, right? Common one in the tavern setting is guy busting the door.
Yeah. Guy busting the door is like, oh, something happened outside, need help, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy can come in, and it can be the guy who hired you, the guy who posted your notice or whatever. And he's like, all right, that was fun. You're done playing darts now, though. Around on me while we discuss what needs to happen next. Mm-hmm. And when I'm done talking, it's time to get up and go do the thing.
Right. Or it could be a bad guy and be like, this, you know, tavern's now under the control of the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Bad guy, like, wait a second,
comes in.
This is a free tavern.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe a fight.
What sort of confrontation is going to come? Are they going to be like, ooh, I'm wanted. I'm a wanted man. I need to slip out the back. And now you're outside on to the next thing. Or a more overt, just like, you know, goblins attack the tavern. Yeah. And now it's a fight scene. And now everyone's... Sorry. A little burp there. Now everyone's rolling dice and engaging with their character sheet, which... If you remember, that's one of the things we said you ought to probably try to do in the first session.
Hmm.
Get some dice rolling in there.
And doesn't necessarily have to be all combat. Combat's a very easy one because it tests a lot of things, and especially for systems or D&D and systems that model off of D&D, where combat is where all the...
Most of the game mechanics.
The mechanics are.
Yeah, most of the text of the rules of the game are in that context. So yeah, you know, throwing a fight at them, that's always good. Good way to get them off their feet, get them moving, and then when the fight is over, they're going to want to, like, okay, what's the next thing after this, as opposed to staying in the same tavern scene and continuing to awkwardly improv in character.
Right, so... After the fight, Game Master drops a clue. Doesn't have to be a clue like a mystery clue, but like a clue, a bit of information. Here's the next, or like maybe for an example, like the employer comes into the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I need you to, you know, steal an item from the lord of this town.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and like that's how you test the mechanics, is doing the heist.
Yeah.
Right. Or so, like, when the heist is done, when the combat's done, you fight, you defeated all the goblins, you know, you helped the guy who came in and said, oh, I need help, like a werewolf was attacking my carriage or whatever, right? When that's done, that's probably going to be the end of the session, and you need to drop the nugget. Nugget's a better word than clue.
Yeah.
You need to drop the nugget, right?
Because it might not be a clue, but...
Yeah. So, like, the nugget. The item you stole for the guy he takes this and is like, with this I can open the gate of crash, and then disappears in black smoke, and you're like, well, like,
fuck, we did a job for a bad guy.
We should probably stop him.
Yeah. Fuck, we ought to do something about that.
Right, or you defeat the goblins and like, well, I guess this is, you know, the next stop on the goblins' crusade, or the horde.
Mm-hmm.
So now we gotta stop the goblin horde.
Or they kidnapped some people.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, they're gonna sacrifice them or eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next session is a rescue mission.
Right. Or like, where did the werewolf come from?
Mm-hmm. Who did Maybe the curse?
Maybe there's a coven in the woods.
Yeah.
You know? Alright, so, does that... So like, we kind of blew through that session. But... You started, you got some character interaction
mm-hmm.
to sync your drifts as players and characters. Something happened where you had to test your mechanics, so players got to sync with their individual characters' mechanics and stats. And then you got the first nugget of the adventure.
Yeah.
That hit all our small board.
All our criteria that we just made up. I think it does.
Okay.
With the caveat of also avoiding some of the things that we said to avoid. Like, you start in a tavern, but you don't meet
mm-hmm.
in a tavern. I think going back to the top of the list on this little board is whatever we're doing with these starting sessions, and we're going to talk about a couple different ways... other types of start or ideas for starting sessions mm-hmm. in a minute here. And I'm curious if we find an exception to this rule, but I think that being kind of the main thing is that, like, whatever the first session is should not be y'all meeting for the first time. Not just like you start in a tavern, but you don't meet for the first time in a tavern. I think you probably don't meet for the first time in any of these. It's really... just in our experience, it's way better if you've met in just like the fiction that you've made up and the shared backstories that you've come up with by doing a good session zero.
Yeah, because good session zero is what you said to avoid in like the tavern scene of it is all just social role playing.
Mm-hmm.
A good session zero is not just making characters and going home. It is...
That's where you should start doing some social...
Just talking.
Yeah, talking.
Talking through and be like, oh, well, like, you know, mm-hmm. my character met you on the road. Where were we going? What were we doing? You know?
And if the players are into that and you've given good direction, that will, like... It happened once, and it was pretty cool for me when I was running the lock-in. That naturally slid into social role-playing, in-character role-playing... when we were talking about session zero stuff. And then when we actually started the adventure, it felt very seamless.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that in mind and those things that you want to hit, let's talk about a couple other different ideas for the first session.
Here's a concept that I've used in the past, and it was okay, wasn't great. It kind of felt like meeting in a tavern for the first time, where it was kind of just, ick.
Mm.
Starting in the middle of a combat.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, doing a little bit of session zero beforehand, or, you know, and the way that this one actually worked was we made characters and then went into the first session with like a little bit of session zero in between that. Talking about that D&D like one shot I ran back in the day with the other, with like Jade crew and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah. I remember.
So.
With the penis building.
Goes straight into testing out the mechanics. And like the... It doesn't actually... Yeah. The way I did it was they all had met each other before, but it could still work the same of, like, this is the first time meeting. You're out... You know, you're a part of a big caravan.
Sure.
And the caravan gets hit, and, like, you guys band together as competent fighters because you're player characters, and, like, that's how you form your bond. is just straight through combat, and then you get to role play on the other side of it. So like switching up the order of things is essentially what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having a little, you know, in character, you know, feeling each other out, you go straight into combat, test the mechanics,
yeah,
and then get to feel each other out. Because I like that idea because it would give some like prompts for that, like, you know, in character feeling each other out and be like, that was pretty cool how you blasted that guy with magic.
Right.
You're like a magic user. You've
done something.
Mm-hmm.
You start out by doing some things. I was very excited to talk about this because this is how I'm thinking of starting the next lock-in is just like
mm-hmm.
roll initiative.
Yeah.
Basically. Like once we do the session zero stuff and I've mm-hmm. told you like this is where you are, this is who you are, you're in a dungeon, roll initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, so if you've done what we said, good session zero prep work, if you've already deposed everybody, lawyer talk.
It's a legal term.
Deposed. You know, as long as everyone's already been deposed and you've asked all the preliminary questions and stuff and everyone's comfortable with their characters, then, like, all right. Set up the battle map. Put the minis on the board. Roll for initiative. This is where you are. And even bypass some of the stuff where, like, you know, people are like, well, could I have been over here? Like, nope. You're here. You're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Go. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff comes from that. And I think what you were saying is maybe the like key benefit of trying to do it that way. You start out with engaging with your character sheet, engaging with the game mechanics, rolling dice. And then once this encounter is resolved, and ideally you're not going to, you know, party wipe them with this first one because,
right.
you know, what would be the point of that? then afterwards, the little period of social role-playing has more immediate context. Because, yeah, like what you said, someone, you know, did some cool spell casting. This guy fights this way. This guy made this such decision during mm-hmm. this fight. You launch right into that, and then when the fight is over and the last bad guy's dead or runs away, now you're talking about something that just happened. And I think that's a little bit easier for people to grab onto mentally when they're trying to like improv a conversation, when they're trying to improv in character and role play socially.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got something to actually talk about because it just happened. And then, you know, on the bodies, you find the nugget.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you get a radio call. Here's the nugget of the next thing.
Is that double tapping, though? If you have a really good session zero,
mm-hmm.
I feel like there would already be rich enough prompts and backstory to get right into some good role playing without the need for, like, you know, the combat.
Yeah.
Because if you've done your due diligence, and another legal term, in the session zero,
we're lawyers,
then you don't necessarily need like a common. You don't need a trauma to bind the group together, right? The trauma of the combat. Because
mm-hmm.
when I tried it the first time, that's what I thought would be like, this is going to really meld the group together.
Yeah.
It's like really put you guys on the same team. It's like you've all fought beside each other and like you had each other's backs in one way or another. So like we can dispense with the mistrustful bullshit that usually comes from meeting in a tavern.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of worked, but I think a session zero accomplishes that.
A good session zero accomplishes that, and you're right, it could be a bit of a double tap, but also, you know, I think it's very contextual based on, like, what sort of players you got.
Mm-hmm. Some players, you know, will read the thing and like make the right character for the thing based on the session zero, but still not, you know, still not be playing yet. You know, it worked out really good for us the last time. Not every player is going to engage with it the same way. So I think it still has benefit in that context. And if you have players who are into it and good at it and did that due diligence really well and are already comfortable role-playing in character, well, yeah, it's like it's a bit of a hat on a hat, but it's also just like more good role-playing.
Is how I feel. All right, so starting with the combat gets the testing and the mechanics point, right? Add some prompts for the sinking drifts point, and then the nugget could come after, or I think the nugget could also come before the sinking of drifts. So like right after the combat, you pick up, I don't know, the assassination order for you guys.
Yeah.
For everybody. It's got everybody listening like, wait a second. Why are we all on this list?
Yeah. Why do these guys want us dead? Okay.
Well, let's all go back to town or, you know, move away from the dead bodies.
Yeah.
And now we can get into the sinking drifts, you know, social in-character interactions. So in that instance, you test the mechanics first, nugget comes second, sinking drifts comes third.
Yeah.
Right, which is jumbled or not jumbled. It's a
jumbled order from how we thought.
Yeah, it's mixed order.
A good start in a tavern would probably go.
So how would you give the nugget after the social interaction? All right. So we beat all the goblins up.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about how good we are at killing goblins.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do that.
You go collect the bounty.
Yeah, you go to turn in the bounty or I was going to say like you rifle through their belongings, the dead guy's belongings, and then you find the thing. But that's, you know, maybe before the social interaction. Because, yeah, if you have a fight, then probably before people start talking and bullshitting. Or maybe it's at the same time. Maybe it's all,
it could be at the same time. Or, like, you just let the players, you know, bullshit. And then, like, oh, yeah, so you're back at the tavern after that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh, hey, I pulled this off the dead body.
Yeah.
I didn't open it because we were on the road or whatever.
Yeah. I didn't want to open this there. It was dark over there.
Right. Like, or, you know, you go back to your accommodations or you make it into the town and whatever. And then somebody's like, did you guys get attacked too? Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Oh,
see someone else.
Here's why you're going to go on an adventure.
Or when you get back into town, you see someone in the same, like, in the same robes as the guy you just fought, you know, like running down an alley or something. And, you know, you go to chase him, but he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there's more of them. That thing that we just... The first thing that we experienced is part of something bigger going on.
I mean, the other... So this one's a little harder to pull off. Because role-playing and dice rolls, and then your players will be like, we can't get party wiped. It's the first combat. But like having like a scripted thing, like all going to jail or, you know, being left for dead. Those are also nuggets.
Yeah.
I don't know where those fit in terms of how do you sync socially with that? Like, I guess, you know, if you all get taken to jail, you sync socially in jail.
Well, I was actually going to say, starting the party in prison is,
okay,
I think, a separate type of first session.
Yeah.
And I think, and we talk about what order this stuff happens in, but I think it does the thing. Because if the first session is y'all are in jail, and there's a sort of implied objective that you need to get out of jail.
So would the getting thrown in jail, would that be in session zero?
Or would that be a
cutscene before, in between session zero and first session? Could be both.
Could be both. Could be either. But either way, I think that's one of the best ways to do it. This is a little bit of an aside, but if you're listening to this and you're a game master, you know, raise your hand if you've ever tried to, in an encounter, capture the players. Get the players to, you know.
For those listening, I'm raising my hands.
Try to get the players to put their hands up and, you know, surrender themselves to arrest.
Very hard.
No matter how stupid or, like, long the odds seem about it, just, like, you put that on the table, and in real life, people would be like, oh, fuck, all right, put down my sword.
Uh-huh.
There's a bunch of guards with crossbows. They'd be like, I can take them. Because what they're thinking about is, like, the dice. They're thinking, like,
all right. I just roll nat 20s.
If I roll good enough to dodge, like, I could move and get into a fight with these guys taking no damage. And that's the other fucking kicker, is, like, sometimes it works. Sometimes players do just, like, completely beat insurmountable odds in a stupid way and ruin what was kind of intended to be a scripted encounter because they used powers, character abilities, whatever. They used things on their character sheet that allowed them to bypass an obstacle, and you didn't think about, like, oh, fuck, how do I make this obstacle unbypassable in this moment? Or they fully commit to, nope, you'll never take me alive, and then you have to never take them alive, and then they're dead. And because if you followed it through to its logical conclusion, and they resisted arrest that hard, they would get killed. So I think either in session zero or, like, a cutscene at the very beginning of the first session is kind of one of the only good ways to put the players in jail before you press play and hand them their full total agency. So yeah, the idea of a first session being the party starts imprisoned. There's ways to test the game mechanics by, like, they come up with ideas of how they're going to try to escape. And, you know, they don't have a lot of gear. They probably have almost zero gear.
Yeah.
Aside from, you know, their clothes or whatever. So testing the game mechanics, being like, okay, yeah, you can try that, but you have nothing that would help you, so try at disadvantage. And also the check is pretty hard.
I think then, so if you start them in jail, you've taken away their gear. Obviously the video game intuition is, well, we just got to get out of the cell and there's a locker with all our gear.
Yeah.
So I think that's, for some reason though, I feel like players would rebel against that because they're players and they're like, oh, but all my starting gear, I get nothing.
Yeah, I want my starting gear. And that's a tricky thing.
You just got to get out of the cell and you can get your gear. It's fine. So I want to put that on the big board of, I think it should be normalized that players can go to jail. Because it is not the end of the adventure.
That might be a good whole episode on its own to talk about ways where you can, because there's a lot of cool stories that can happen in, you know, an incarceration environment, in a prison environment or a dungeon. Dungeon is tricky, that's a tricky word to use, because a dungeon, what a dungeon actually means is, you know, like prison cells under a castle. But in gaming and just, you know, common parlance these days, a dungeon refers to, like, an underground adventure area.
Yeah. I think it's definitely another episode.
Players go to jail.
Players go
to jail. How to make players go to jail. Wait.
Oh. We're like, workshopping.
Ernest Goes to Prison, one of those movies. Mm-hmm.
National Lampoon's Vacation in Jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're think on that. But yeah, put it on the board. Players should be fine with going to jail because that doesn't mean the story is over. It means something exciting is about to happen.
Like, I wouldn't be trying to get you arrested unless there was going to be fun stuff to happen. So you got to play along with the idea.
Yeah, you think the game master is just going to be a dickhead and be like, well, you're in jail, so you just end up rotting in jail for the rest of your lives.
And now this campaign is over. Here's my recap. You serve life sentences.
No, that's not what it is. Anyways, okay, so starting in jail, testing the mechanics by escaping from jail. Mm-hmm. And I think the nugget it was in the very beginning, like, why are you all in jail? That's the nugget.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Who's mad at you? Mm-hmm. What did you do? Well, you didn't do anything. Okay, well then, who set you up? Who's got you here? And then I think a fun little... Players might not like this, but a fun thing would be to let them have, you know, 45 minutes of trying to escape and have a lot of stuff not work. Mm. And then have, you know, someone come in and be like, you know, Suicide Squad style.
Yeah.
Like, all right, guys, I'm going to let you out, but you work for me now. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And that's a nugget as well. Maybe it's not a mystery why you're in jail. Maybe that part...
Yeah.
You know, maybe that part's mundane, and you already covered that in session zero, but why does this guy need you to do a... You know, why does this guy need prisoners to do a job?
Right, and that would work really well, I think, because in session zero, the game master can guide people and be like, listen, the story's going to start with you in jail. So, like, why are y'all in jail? You've done something bad, not necessarily irredeemable.
Yep.
Could just be a thief stealing food for their family, but you're in jail.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to start.
Yep. So I think that hits, because sitting in a jail cell is a great little opportunity for a bit of social role playing, a bit of how do you do, between player characters, opportunity to test the game mechanics. Maybe the point is to escape. Maybe escape's not possible, but you don't have to tell your players that. You can let them attempt things and make rolls, and maybe they don't succeed in escaping, but maybe they, like, you know, are able to fashion a shiv or something.
Yeah.
And now they've got something hidden that, the guy who comes and offers you a Suicide Squad mission doesn't know about.
Or, like, the Suicide Squad example is the jail is just for social interaction. Suicide Squad guy comes and says, you're going on a mission, and then you test your mechanics.
Yeah, then you do a little job for him, and that's where you know, practice your rolling, figure out how to use your character sheet, that sort of thing.
Let's discuss more of the, like, cutscene thing. So, like, because a cutscene can be used to give the nugget.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could also be used to do social interaction, but less so. That one feels harder because then you're giving up control of the cutscene.
I think, so to do a cutscene, I think a cutscene is where you want to, like, if there's something major, something maybe kind of action-y even, like what you were talking about before. Before we started recording. So, you mentioned the cutscene idea as an alternative to, like, the hot start. Like, roll initiative, we start with the combat, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's some cool stuff in that idea, the start in the combat. And then, like we talked about, the social interaction and the nugget of what comes next can come after that. But if you do what you were talking about, where you cutscene the ambush, your caravan guards or whatever, yeah. you cutscene the ambush, and you say, this is what happened, and it was a big deal, and it was action-y, but we're not going to play that part, because what's important is now we're starting, and session one is about, okay, that happened last night. We're kind of in a bad way right now, maybe. Mm-hmm. What do we do next? I think that's a cool idea, and that's distinct. In the prison thing, you asked, would going to jail be a cutscene that happens before, or would that be just something that you, you know, establish already happened in session zero? And we said, well, it could be either, could be both. Doesn't really matter, but I think it does matter more in this context, because this is something that, like, they would have liked to have played, probably, you know, a fun action sequence.
If I had been there, it wouldn't have gone down like that.
Right. But you're saying it did go down this way, and it's important that you had no agency then as players, because it had to have gone down a certain way, so that when we start now in first session, after a cutscene type of event... Mm-hmm. These are the limitations that you're working under, and these are the things that, like, happened that you feel bad about, or that you have to now somehow recover from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a cool idea, with a good cutscene of, like, oh, shit, you know, we were escorting... you know, someone important, or, like, carrying an important package, and now, like, there's still, like, an impetus to get something done, but now suddenly we're working under all these limitations. Like, most of our guards are dead. We're low on supplies. We're out in the wilderness, whatever. Mm-hmm. So what you're starting with for the social part is, like, a social role-playing scene where you're kind of under the gun, where you gotta, like, well, now we need to have an emergency meeting to solve a problem type of thing. And then once you decide on a course of action, then you go into, you know, your first attempt at getting out of this situation, and that's where you can, you know, get into roles. You know, maybe you try and... you lost some of your wagons in this caravan, but it's still important to get as much of the goods to the inn. So can we repair some wagons? Can we overload one of the wagons? Oh, that's going to make us move slower. Now you're dealing with game mechanics and also decisions in character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the... I think the biggest problem with the cutscene start is, like, the accidental attachment players might have with that. So, like, for example, I don't know, not to use my specific stuff, because I kind of want to keep that a little bit of a secret, even though it is at the earliest... I'm not going to use the stuff I've been working on for, like, my login, because, like, that might come about in a couple months. Well, in, like, 6 months, but still. Okay, so, like, your city watch guards and, like, the captain that you guys, all the players, like, look up to gets killed in a cutscene, right? The intention is, like, you guys have been burned, there's been a coup in the city watch, and, like, you guys got to get out of the city because that's just where the story happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we did a session zero where, like, you guys, how long have you been at the watch? And, you know, like, made a real personable city guard captain who gets unjustly murdered. I feel like the players are just going to want to jump back and be like, fuck the odds. Yeah. We're going to kill them all. We're going to get revenge.
Yeah. You start them like outside the city after a cutscene. Uh-huh. They might be like, well, what if we turn around, go back and solve this problem right now with our swords? Well, yeah. So like, it's a tricky thing because what you're playing with is removing some player agency and then putting a locked door behind them. That was the term you used before. So that's a critical thing. Like, there needs to be a gate needs to close behind them so that there is a forward way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then going back, trying to go back to the cutscene is not an option.
Yeah. I think the obvious answer is big carrot.
Yeah. They stole something.
Right.
You know, maybe that's
what
it was.
I don't know if that's a big enough carrot. I think, like,
I guess
the only way.
What if they stole the thing?
Like,
you know, say, you were caravan guards or you were escort. Well, they stole the thing, and so now they're like, well, we got to recover it because we can't even do the rest of this unless we get it back. So there's no going back. There's no going back to the cutscene. There's no undoing what was already done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still kind of like going back to the cutscene because, you know, it's like the end of the Fellowship movie. You know, you can't go unkill Boromir, but you can go hunt down the orcs.
Yeah.
And that's the movie kind of overlaps that bit, but that's how the second book begins. The second book begins with the bit where they find dead Boromir. And you can't go back to the end of the first book. You got to make a tough decision now. Do we follow Frodo or do we follow the orcs?
Right. So, how do you make them follow the orcs? Because I feel like if you were running that as a role-playing game and did a cutscene where the Fellowship gets fucked up by their Urukai. Frodo bails. Boromir's dead. Merry and Pippin are captive. Like, what's to stop the players siding with Legolas and jumping in the boat?
Right. And that's actually, I mean, in a role-playing game, that might be the actual better decision. And maybe even, like, getting really granular and nitpicking Tolkien a little bit, you know. What Aragorn is doing is leaving a certain thing up to fate. And he's saying, you know, the Ringbearer's fate is no longer in my hands. And he was always probably going to have to do this mostly on his own anyway. And, you know, so he makes a decision to leave something to fate. And it feels like the right thing for him to do. But there's a really strong argument that it sucks to leave Merry and Pippin to the mercies of the orcs.
Hmm.
But it's more important to go catch up with Frodo and make so sure that he has some good swords next to him on his much more important journey.
Yeah.
It turns out all to be very important and interwoven in a way where, you know, fate and destiny are big players in that. But
so, I mean, I guess in the role-playing scenario, you don't... Or Frodo doesn't split off. Merry and Pippin have the ring, so you have to go.
Yeah, you just you lock one of those off. You don't put two of those things there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the answer. You close the door behind. You close the door on the cutscene that just happened, but then unless you're prepared to run either version of it, you don't give them two ways to go.
Yeah, I think that's something to add to the, like, a sub-bullet of the nugget is one clear path.
Yeah, one clear path. Or you better be ready, you better be prepared, you know, you better have material prepared to run either one.
Right. And, like, if it's not, material prepared to run either path. So, like, you don't have to give, oh, there's only one answer.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, all roads lead to the next thing.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't have a road that just, like, leads to nothing.
Yeah.
because, you know, you can't, because it would be a real breach of the contract to be like, oh, well, we want to go chase Frodo. Well, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, well.
Or, like, let them do it.
Then why did you give me that, you're never that option?
Him. Yeah.
Why was that an option?
Yeah. Now you're just way behind on the thing that you should have actually done. Like, just, you know, don't do that.
I mean, that's pretty good. Anything more that we have for first sessions right now?
I feel like there's probably others. I'm having a hard... What I'm trying to think about is, like, you know, cool things from media where, you know, where, like, one episode ends on sort of a cliffhanger, and then, like, how does the next episode pick up, or how does the next movie pick up after a dramatic ending of the first movie type of thing. But all of that is kind of the one we just talked about. The starting, do your session zero stuff, and then give them a cutscene. You were here, you were doing this. This happened, though, and it happened this way. And now I've hit the start play button. And you can't go back and change any of that. These are the constraints that you're now working under. I don't have any other ideas right now for specific first session ideas. I'd love to just pull one more out, but...
One more first session. Well,
what about movies start?
Pulling people out of retirement.
Okay, that's pretty good. Getting the band back together. Getting the band back together is okay. It's a fun media trope. It's a cool thing. The thing is, with getting the band back together in a book or a movie, it's usually not the first thing, right? The first thing
That's true.
Is the something first thing is something the, happens. Oh. Yeah. I gotta get the band back together now because, and that could be a cutscene. That could be a cutscene, but then you need to do it. And here's the tricky part I see about getting the band back together in the context of a role playing thing is who goes first, right? Who drives this? Because getting the band back together starts with one or two being like, all right, well, we got to go get everybody.
Sure.
So who gets to be the star of that episode or of that session? And then everyone's got to wait. And I've got three, like, media examples.
Is Kings of the Wild one?
Kings of the Wild is the first one.
Okay.
Getting the band back together. You know... My daughter.
Yeah, because I think...
My daughter.
Okay, yeah. Say the other ones.
The second one was the first Amin al-Sarafe adventure, which I guess I'll plug that now so that I don't mess up the outro of the episode. Shannon Chakraborty is the author. She wrote a cool fantasy trilogy about djinn in, like, late Renaissance... in, like, Arabian mythology, and, you know, and then her new series is about a cool pirate captain in the Indian Ocean. And the first book starts with, she's old, someone comes to her with an offer she can't refuse, she's got to get the band back together for one last job. And then so she does that. And in both of those contexts... it's kind of led by one character. In Kings of the Wild, it's the second character in getting the band back together, because the first one is his buddy, comes to him and is like, hey, my daughter, I gotta get the band back together, go save my daughter. In Amin al-Sarafe, it's her, Amina,
She gets the offer she can't refuse, so she has to go get her friends back together one by one. The third one is, was it last year? The Cloudward Ho season of Dimension 20, which was a role-playing game, and so is maybe the most germane to what we're talking about right now, was a, you know, a D&D pen and paper adventure, which started out with a very, like, lightly role-play, mostly scripted, just Brennan narrating. This was the heyday of this cool crew of adventurers, and now it's now, and something is going on, and as we, you know, spend the first two-hour session getting the band back together, he kind of drip-feeds all the characters into it. And it worked really, really well as a piece of entertainment media to consume. But, you know, like Ali's character and Brian Murphy's characters, they get to start out right away. Like, they're playing the entire time from the first scene once they actually start playing. Mm-hmm. But the other characters are drip-fed into it. Emily's character doesn't come in until halfway through it. So for the first half of the session, the human person playing the character is just sitting there waiting. Mm-hmm. And Lou's character is the last one that they go to find. And so he only gets to, like, play in that first session for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then bad guys show up. Exciting thing. And this is going to be a fun session two where we get in a big fun fight. But for that first session of getting the band back together, players are waiting their turn sometimes for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's bad if everyone's into it, but that's a tricky thing I feel like to manage.
Yeah. So I think to do that, one, six players is a lot of
players.
That's
too many players, Brennan.
In our regular
Matt, you guys.
Too many game master opinion.
Actually, I think Brennan's running for like 18 now. He's doing the new critical role, and it's spread across four tables.
Oh my goodness.
So he's mega game mastering the same campaign for four different parties or nice. Something. And I'm just like, that's too much. I'm not even going to try and get into it. But he must love it because he's doing it.
So if you have a lot of players, like six, for example, you need to group them up.
Yeah.
I think, right? I think the Kings of the Wilds and the Cloudward Ho would be like how to do it versus Amina Al-Sarafi, where it's all Amina driven.
Yeah.
Works
for a novel.
You could start it with one character has like the thing, right? Like, yeah. Gabe in Kings of the Wilds, his daughter. And then, you know, in Cloudward Ho, you know, cryptic message from Grandma.
Yeah.
But it's tied in, whatever kicks off this we need to reunite the band is tied into everybody else's life, wherever they are.
And yeah.
Like, whatever they're doing, it does affect them. So, right. Like, it's not just, oh, we're going to go on this adventure because you need our help. It's... we're going to go on this adventure because there is a fate of the world kind of deal.
Yeah, like it needs to matter. And I think it can be just that, like, my best friend needs my help, but, like, you got to have players
first,
really bought into that.
At first it can be that. And then you're like, oh, yeah, this, you know, the town or, like, you know, like Maddie's kingdom.
Yeah.
That is wrapped up in the whole, you know, monster horde thing.
Yeah, the fate of the world problem.
Right, so I think... starts with one character, but quickly and easily seen as, like, this is, you know, a world problem. So, like, not only is it my friends involved in it, I should help my friends from the past, but also this is just good for the world, or, you know, good for me and
this
my current world.
This is important to do.
This is important to do for either, you know, altruistically or just, like, I don't want my town destroyed because I made a life here.
Right.
So I'm in a position to do something about it. Goddamn right, I'm going to do something about it.
And that does call back to the Session Zero stuff, because you can't have one of the party members be Jack Sparrow, who would run away, who would just, like, unless he's physically trapped by it, keep abandoning people and trying to run away from it, even though the fate of the world is at stake. He'll be like, well, if it doesn't get me right now, then I'm okay. You can't have that in your party. So you need to Session Zero it good, so that when the stakes are revealed, those stakes are something that they are, you know, interested in buying into.
Right. So I would do, if I were doing a get the gang back together first session, I would, you know, whoever, whatever player character is kicking it off, they go meet their, you know, Clay Cooper.
Yep.
Right? Like, this isn't going to work unless I get Clay. Yep. So, like, let's go see what he says. Right? Those players get a little, you know, social interaction. And then fast forward to, like, a combat mechanic thing. Maybe you pick up another two players in that. Or it's like, oh, well, well, who's it's was, you know, last seen in this town. Oh, they're in jail. We got to break them out of jail.
Right.
Right. Oh, well, you know, turns out the, I don't know, maybe they're siblings, right? Session Zero is like, our characters are siblings and we do everything together. So they're both in jail.
Yeah.
So you break them out of jail. And then if you have another group, this would be pushing it. If you have another group, you have to meet them like right away.
Yeah.
Because it's already probably been an hour and a half.
Yeah, and they've not played yet.
Yeah.
Maybe they heard about what's happening and they find you or they find the rest of the party. Like, you got to get them in there.
But, like, they join up right after you break them out of jail.
Yeah. The way Cloudward Ho did it was, like, it was really great. It was like reading the first chapter of a really cool book, and I was stoked on it. But that only works, you know, because they're professionals and they're paid to be there and they're going to do this for, you know, multiple days in a row. If you're, you know, if you're just playing with your friends and you're meeting once every couple of weeks, it really sucks to show up to a session and not get to play. Yeah. So you got to be careful how you divide up that pie.
Right. All right. So going to our mini board here.
Yeah.
Right, the nugget comes from the, like, catalyst player.
The first thing.
The first player. Yeah. Right, you get some social interaction each time. You start with the nugget. Yep. Each time when you meet up with new people, you get some social interaction.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the getting the gang back together, you know, all meeting back up, is the mechanics testing, right? Like, breaking your compatriots out of jail or, you know, getting ambushed on the road or whatever by, you know, some nobodies. Or, you know, in Kings of the Wild, some fun characters, you know, Jane and the, I forget what her band's called, her bandits. Anyways, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right? Something like that where there's not really a lot of stakes, but you get to test out the mechanics. You get to roll a couple times.
Yeah.
But, you know, you should keep it short because you got other people to meet. And so, like, you do want everybody to get a chance to roll for stuff and feel out their character. So it can't just be, you know, the main catalyst and, like, the first person that they get back into the gang, like, they do a combat and then that's it. And then it's just social interactions. That seems a little lame because those other people didn't get to roll at all.
Right. That's no fun.
I think that would meet the criteria for a first session, a good first session.
I think so. All right, so we got three things on the little mini board for this episode. Opportunity for social interaction, opportunity to
mechanically test out characters.
Yeah, actually engage with the mechanics of the game, and then some sort of nugget of what comes after this. What's a reason to keep going? Where are we going next? With those in mind, we talked about starting in a tavern, hot start, roll initiative, starting
cutscene
with a cutscene, the action, the hot start already happened, and now you're in maybe some dire straits because of it. Starting like in prison or in some sort of, you know, you can't leave, Mm-hmm. You've been picked up. You've been, you know, jail, basically jail start. And then getting the band back together. That's five. That's pretty good. Five cool different ideas for your first session of your new adventure.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you like our stuff, if you like those five ideas, head over to the Patreon.
You might find four or five whole other ideas.
Maybe if you look hard enough. 2HGM Patreon. That's where we do all our stuff these days. Join for free.
Mm-hmm.
We have some materials and shit there. And also our Discord.
Yep. If you've got something to say to us, say it there. You got an episode idea you want to do? You want to get involved in any other stuff we do? You want to have a chance to weigh in or even be part of something like our Halloween special, which is coming up soon-ish? That's where you find it. I think that'll about do it for this episode of Two-Headed Game Master. As always, thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pond Hill is Finest as the intro and outro to our show. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time, guys.